Mindset Transformations Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna. Do you feel the need to do more with your life? Are limiting beliefs holding you back from true success? Enjoy a unique blend of interviews, discussions, and transformation coaching in every show. Get the tools for success. The Mindset Transformation Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna.
Welcome to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we have a special guest with us, hailing from Los Angeles, California, Miss Gail Green. And Gail is a leadership coach and trainer. Welcome, Gail, to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes, I am glad that you are here. I'm excited about our conversation today. We are going to be talking about, are you an open or closed communicator? How many of you know that in order for you to go anywhere, you need to be an open communicator? If you're closed off, whether personally or as a leader, then your success is going to be limited. So that's what we're going to explore today, and we're going to expand because Gail is the expert on that. Now, in keeping with the theme of the show, I normally like to leave a little bit of me behind, you know, have you, you know, understand some tips that I give, you know, as it relates to our topic. And today I thought I will ask you about being closed off in personal relationships. Because a lot of times we are not conscious of who we are and what we do. So Gail is going to talk to us about you being closed off in the business world and as a leader. And I thought I would put my little two cents in about, you know, how if you're closed off in personal relationships. Now, my tip of the week has, you know, it's not the views of my my guest on the show. It's something that I put together all on my own, and it correlates, but it's not meant to talk about anything they're going to be talking about because, of course, I don't want to steal their thunder. So I want to ask you the following question. Are you emotionally guarded? And are you willing to take risks? Now, if you answered yes to any of these questions, it could mean that you are closed off emotionally. And sometimes being emotionally guarded gets you into a bad situation. But most of the time, it gets you nowhere. In every area of life, there is no reward if there is no risk. So that could be why you keep finding yourself in relationships that bore you or in relationships with other emotionally closed-off individuals. Because I'm sure you know that like attracts like. And those relationships aren't rewarding, aren't they? When you meet someone who is closed off just like you, they're not rewarding, are they? Because it's like it's peeling an onion, right? You know, you got to work for everything. So if you don't take risk by putting your true self and your true feelings on the table, those are the types of relationships that you will attract. Your emotionally open friends, on the other hand, will get those giddy best friend lovers, movie-type romances, and you will get the dead-end ones, the ones that do not stimulate you, the ones that do not help you reach where you want to go. And maybe you have never had your heart broken, and maybe you think that that's a perk, but it's not. It's not a badge of honor because, like they said, it is better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. So I will ask you the question again. Are you closed off and don't even realize it? So hopefully, you know, that little short tip will create some awareness, and then Gail is going to expand on it because, you know, the business world and the personal world are mirrored. So, you know, here are 10 other ways to tell if you're closed off personally, and I took this from a blog post by Madame Imore. And she asks, do you feel like your first dates are interrogations and are put off by the line of questionings you receive during them? Does it feel inappropriate to you whenever someone becomes emotional around you? Do your friends share their romantic stories with you, or do they feel that you are never happy for them, so they just don't bother sharing? Are you attracted to cocky guys? Do you do a lot of Googling before your first dates? You've got to get everything right. You've got to find out everything about the person before you go out with them. And do you prep your friends to do the same thing before they meet a guy? Is sex a competition for you? Have you ever cried to a partner or shown your vulnerability? Does eye contact make you feel uncomfortable? And lastly, are you sarcastic? So these are the questions that Madame Imore has in her blog that ask you if you are a closed-off person. And if you're a closed-off person, then my suggestion is that you learn to take the risk and be more open. All right, so let me tell you a little bit more about Gail. Gail Green is a leadership coach and trainer, and she's going to teach us today to find out if you are an open or closed communicator in your business environment. Gail is a leader who connects individuals and teams to their truth, helping them to discover their full expression of courage, joy, and fulfillment. Gail works with all sizes of companies, as well as individuals and leaders. And she also does life coaching with individuals from all walks of life. Gail's primary work is in leadership development, team building, stress management, and all forms of communication skills. Welcome again, Gail, and how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Myrna.
How is California? Oh, boy,
California is sweet. It's warm. We're having this most incredible fall.
Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome. Glad to hear. Well, of course, I'm in Florida, and we're in the 90s, so that's good.
Yeah, the other coast sometimes reflects very different weather, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, awesome. All right, well, you want to tell us about your journey to becoming a leadership coach. How did you get here?
My journey was a wild ride. And I probably can go all the way back to when I was a very young child. I had energy in my hands from the time I can remember, 2 years old. And my parents said I walked around touching everything in sight. And they didn't know if I was blind or maybe disturbed because they couldn't figure out why I touched everything, and I was one of seven kids.
Oh, wow.
And ultimately, I found myself massaging my brothers and sisters' backs, and my dad, he'd let me sit on the back of the couch and massage his head. And, you know, looking back on it, I would say, on one hand, I didn't know anything, but I knew a lot. I knew energy was coming through my hands. When I went to college, I actually dropped out of my second year, and I went to massage school, and I became a massage therapist, and then went back to college and got a degree in psychology. And through all of that, I was a massage therapist for many, many years, and I learned a tremendous amount of what I do today from that part of my journey. Because touching bodies in silence for hours develops a deep listening and what I would call intuition. And it was over the time of working with people like you and me on a very regular basis, I got to where I knew what was going on in people's lives by the way they would walk in the door. And I realized at some point I wanted to start working with people before their bodies broke down instead of after. So I got started in the whole arena of leadership coaching. I actually had a housemate who had her own training and development company, and I got started with her doing stress management, because the wonderful transition from what I had done and watching people stressed out and watching the symptoms of the body, which is the heart rate increases and your breathing gets shallow and your muscles get tight and your digestion goes crazy and you don't have an attention span, are all signs of being too pressurized, especially over an extended period of time. And I got to where I just wanted to start helping people find their joy and their fulfillment in what they do and where they put their time on a regular basis. And so that's what led me into leadership coaching. And then I went on and got extended studying in multicultural communication, in leadership development, and executive presence. And oh, wow. That's what has led me to what I do today.
And that is with the communication for the leaders and leadership training,
yes,
and things like that. That's awesome.
Yes.
No, I love that mouthful you just said. Multicultural coaching?
Yes. Multicultural communication. Yes.
Communication.
Yep.
All right. Can you expand on that? Because the first time I've heard that term.
Well, multicultural communication, if you take a look at our workplace today, or our world today, we have the entire world living here in America. And the way each of us have been brought up in our own cultures, even though living within America, has a lot to do with how we see the world and how we communicate. So, for example, I had a very strong, close friend growing up. They were from Sweden, and she was one of my best friends, and going to her house, everybody talked and listened at the same time. So it totally freaked me out, because that's not the family I grew up in, but you had to learn to be quick, you had to learn to be a really good listener. And as she grew on, she was always interrupting everybody, but that's how it was within her family unit. She went on to become an opera singer. Probably because she had her own sound. She could be unique. But
awesome.
Different cultures that have different priorities and different modes about expressing themselves and what is expected as well as what is accepted. You know, in the workplace where we have, you know, we have every race and culture, it seems, that we're working with. And so learning to understand, appreciate, and integrate the awareness that I might be clear to myself and I may not be clear to somebody else has a lot to do with us learning to be great communicators. And I think that is not just for us as professionals, but that deals with, I think, people in general and certainly parents. Because you can have a teenager who can seem like they're from another planet, and learning to be able to reach to them is huge.
Yeah, that is very true, because, you know, the world has changed from the time you were a child, so I understand totally. But I would have thought that spouses that are from, you know, different backgrounds would be, you know, the number 10 answer on that board. But that is very illuminating for the leaders, or, you know, the managers, supervisors that are listening to the call, because what you just said was a classic example of your friend that, you know, how they communicated and it was okay with them. So as a leader, if you've got, you know, people from different countries and, you know, in your team, then that is one way to understand that if they interrupt you, maybe they're not being rude. It's just how they do it, kind of thing. So that's
absolutely
great. It's a great specialty.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and I guess that transitioned into what we're going to be talking on today, which is the form of communication that that you're becoming an open communicator, correct?
Yes.
So how did you specialize in that part of it? How did you go from being a multicultural communicating expert to, I know, right, to, right, focus in on open and closed communication?
I'm so happy to be answering this question because
awesome.
Okay. I If I look back at my own life journey, I was looking for life principles that I could see applied to everybody. So in my world of the multicultural communication, I had to learn what worked for one didn't work for somebody else. And I think that is so for communication in general, having to have a personal connection with an individual is really such a key. But I was pulled to discover life principles. And those are principles that apply to professionals, to parents, to people. They apply to everyone. And so if you were to picture a tree, I wanted to get to the trunk of the tree. And there are a lot of branches that come out of that trunk, but what's the trunk of the tree? And through my work, I discovered I kept going back to this concept of being open and watching that as people found a place where they were receptive to others, where they could find their patience, where they were curious, they could be inclusive. They found a gear before they jumped to right or wrong. Whatever that place was, that's where I was intrigued. And I realized it was a life principle. And a life principle is something that applies to everybody. So gravity is a principle. It affects us all. Whether we like it or not, it affects us all. And a life principle is similar. So as I look out into the world and see how we are affected by our increase in technology, so we have awareness of what's going on in the world, and sometimes that's good news, and a lot of times that's bad news, but we have the potential of being more aware globally. Add to that our pace of life, which is fast. And what comes with all of that are more expectations, more need to change to be able to stay current. And what I realized with all of that was that finding open was the key. That if I could keep myself, my being, in an open place, then in the moment I could figure out what to say or how to respond to the challenge I'm facing, or how to deal with a difficult employee that's driving me nuts once again, or how to deal with a very long day in a way where I walk away and go, that was fulfilling, I'm charged up, instead of a long day that now I find myself extremely irritated, and then I go home and take it out on the family or the dog.
Yep. Okay. I am feeling you. I'm getting the importance of it from listening to you, and I like that. You know, when you're open, then you're opening to working with the difficult employee. When you're open, you're open to saying, you know, I had a long day, but I got a lot done, and I feel good, and you know, instead of saying I'm drained of energy, kind of thing. So that is good, and I'm pretty sure that you're gonna teach us and expand our awareness on how we can do that. Correct?
Absolutely. We're gonna learn today how to find open.
Okay. Awesome. I like that because I'm gonna be learning with the audience as well because this is new information to me. All right, so that's awesome. So let us take our first break, and we'll be right back to find out how to find open. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
How would you like to make $3,000 to $7,000 a month from the comfort of your own home? Well, you can at moneyfromhome.info. At moneyfromhome.info, not only can you make money, you can do it with no cold calling, no personal selling, no rejection, no meetings, and no chasing family and friends. Simply refer prospects to your own website, and they do the rest. Moneyfromhome.info will help you build your business. They offer a proven system that's super simple and extremely effective. Moneyfromhome.info have a unique compensation plan that benefits you. So check it out right now. Moneyfromhome.info and start making money, real money, working from home. Moneyfromhome.info.
Welcome back to Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I am your host, Coach Myrna Young, And today we are speaking to leadership coach and trainer, Ms. Gail Green. And our topic today is how do you find out if you are an open or closed communicator? In the first segment, we heard from Gail of her journey from being a massage therapist to her degree in psychology and wanting to help her clients, communicate better and so that, you know, their body does not break down. So what she decided to specialize in is multicultural communication because, you know, how we communicate to one is not how we communicate to all. So as we go into the second segment, we are going to expand our topic and, give you some tips and understanding and how you can become an open communicator and also to find out, you know, what are the symptoms of being a closed communicator. So, Gail, let me ask you, anyone that's listening to us right now and they're a leader, how would he or she know if they're an open or closed communicator, and what specifically determines that?
There are probably several key areas where our awareness could let us know whether we're open or closed. And we're putting words on something that we all feel energetically day in and day out. So where you will know it, how it will show up will be in how our behaviors change, how our energy changes, and how our outlook changes. Those are the three areas where you ultimately can find out how it affects us. But I want to take a step back and talk to you about what happens in our body when we're open versus when we're closed. What we know is that energy enters our body from the top of the head, which the medical journals will call the crown. Energy comes into our body through our crown when we're open. It comes down and out through our eyes, our hands, and the whole area in the front of the torso, which is called the heart center. And what's interesting with something called Kirlian photography, you can register how far energy radiates from the body when we're open. And what's fascinating is the heart is considered the loudspeaker of the body. It radiates a minimum of 6 feet when we're open. And people who actually learn to be open more ongoingly, it'll go farther and farther. So if you're in a busy airport and you're looking for somebody, on some level, if we're tuned in, it's almost like a ranging aspect we have, like where are they? And why you can find them is because you're tuning into a specific frequency because you know them. Chances are you love them. You're connected to them in some way. Well, when we are in an open place, this energy flows out our eyes. So sometimes you can tell as you look at someone at why we reach out and even shake hands or touch each other. It's another way we're communicating to each other. Why gestures are important in presentation skills is because energy leaves our hands. But most of the energy leaves from the heart center. Why kids sit in our laps, why we embrace others and people to the front of our body. This is how we give of our essence through the heart. So when we are in an open place, this energy is flowing through us. When we are in a closed place, the valve, if you can picture a valve above the head, the valve shuts off. The valve gets closed. Now we have a finite amount of energy, and with that finite amount of energy, we can't access all of our faculties. When we're open, we have our mind, which is a great computer. We have our heart, which is the ability to connect to people, to things, to challenging situations. And we have our gut. And our gut is where our intuition, our wisdom, and our natural knowing lives. It's actually, believe it or not, we often think from our gut. So when we're open, we have all of that. When we're closed, we only have our minds. And our minds are programmed to be rigid. So closed, often you will find we become more impatient, more irritated, easily defensive, easily to be resistant to change. We find ourselves more critical. We can doubt. We can worry. All those are aspects that can be indicators that we've moved to a closed state.
Wow. I am learning so much from that. As you were talking, I agree totally, but, you know, I've always had a different spin on it because, I'm a meditator, and, when we meditate, when we're doing the chakras, we're going from the crown, we're going from, the communication center, which is in your bellies. And you're moving that energy through, and, Deepak Chopra, who's somebody I love, is mm-hmm. always concentrating on the heart energy. So, I agree totally about the energy that allows you to be open and allows you to irradiate, and the energy of love. It's, classic example. When you were talking about energy from the eyes and the hands and from touch and things like that, that's what brought me to it. But, I'd never, put my awareness on the fact that a close communicator would have the same symptoms and have. So it's good. Like, everything in life is not an island. It's all connected somehow. And you have just given me that connection. So that is absolutely awesome. And I see now where you having lots of energy and touching people as a kid. So we could say that you were born with this ability.
Who would have known? I mean, in the years of all that, I never would have known I was developing something. I didn't know. I loved touching. I knew that. That's what pulled me back again and again. But I look back and I look at what I learned in my 4 years as, with my degree in psychology, and then I look to my life, I would say I learned the most through touching in silence. And something was happening inside of me. The learning in the silence was showing me things. I was listening. I got to where I just knew I could even listen to people's thoughts often. And it was that level of communication because I was learning, I'm sure, to be open. And more open and more open. And here's what I picture. I picture that this valve that allows us to be open can be open just a little bit like a faucet, and you could have drops coming out of the faucet, like drops of water, and you can have drops of allowing this energy to flow through us. Or you can open it more, and it's more of a trickle, and a little bit more, and now it's more of a stream. Or you can really learn and focus on how to be more open more consistently, and then it floods through. And if it floods through, there's more ability, there's more of an opportunity to find flexibility and speed and patience and a second wind.
Yeah.
More energy, all those things.
I know it was not on our topic list, but I introduced it, and I want to go with it in a minute. So have you found in your massage therapist work or in psychology or even in your, working with leaders, did you find that there's anything outside of communication that would help them to become more open? Like I mentioned meditation. Do you find that that was, something like that is or exercise or something helps?
I think that's a fabulous question about how I think we're, how do we find open? I'm going to give everybody a tool today, but let's take a moment here and look, because I think I've never met anybody who says, I really strive to be closed every day. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't. It's not the way we're wired. However, we get stuck, and when we get stuck, finding a way to come back to open is really the key. I mean, a huge part of open is becoming more self-aware, and that means become aware of our habits, become aware of our triggers. And I'll get back to triggers in a minute. But let me answer your question, Myrna, about what else. So there's an area that I call our passions. And I think, meditating might be a passion for you. It might be a discipline for you. What I find, our passions are the things we love to do. And there, if you were stranded on a deserted island, you'd be yearning for these activities. So they can be as simple as drinking your favorite coffee out of your favorite mug, or crossword puzzles, or going camping, or going outside for some fresh air and sun on your skin. They can be more physical as dancing and running and competing in sports. They can be more long-term as charting out a vacation you're going to have a year from now, and you're going to go see several new places, and you're involved and invested in that. They can be involved with a lot of different arenas, but investing in ourself is a huge part of knowing ourself. And the more we move into knowing ourselves, the more we will learn to honor ourselves in our essence. And as we develop that, we are developing a muscle that will assist us to find open when we're in really tough situations, or going through a really grueling time of the year, or when we're dealing with life issues in addition to work pressures.
Okay. All right, so I get it. So what you're saying is that anything that we can do, anything that we do that we're passionate about leads us to being open, whether it's meditation, whether it's exercise, whether it's running, whether it's love, whether it's, there are certain things, once you're investing in yourself, that allows you to be open. And the people on the opposite flip side of that, the people that are closed, they're who are not finding passion. They're just going through the drudgery of life. That would be correct?
Yes. Right. Yeah, often, right. There's a really wonderful acronym for the word old, getting old. And it's so interesting how it's woven in our language. You know, a child is 1 year, and we call them 1 year old.
Old.
We're old from the moment. A car is old the minute you drive it off the lot. Consumed with old, but there's an acronym for old, which is obstructing learning daily. And when we stop our learning, I think not only do we get old, but I think stopping our learning is how we are more easily habituated toward closing down. It's how we get to closed is often refusing to learn. And sometimes it's learning from whatever we're facing, and we don't want to stay open to it. I don't want to deal with it. It's too much for me. I haven't developed the capacity for this. And I can remember a leader, one of my actually favorite leaders I've ever worked with, who, when he started in his career, he was a go-getter, and he would charge the hill. He would get to the top, and he'd look around, and there would be nobody with him. So he figured out for himself. He didn't figure out how to include other people in his vision, in his pace, and in his communication. And what I find with open is open makes us more aware of outside of us. Not only what's in it for me, what's in it for you? What's in it for them?
Yeah.
And that's a really huge key in the workplace.
Yeah, I think, I don't know who said it, but there's somebody that says, if you're a leader with no followers, you're just out for a walk. Have you heard that one?
That's it.
Yeah, so a leader that's charging to the top and nobody's following him, or he's not even care that he has followers, that's a good one, yes. Okay, awesome. So I think we did that question good justice, because, I learned a lot from your answer. My next question is, so if a leader becomes closed off, how can he or she trace the source?
So often when we close down, I don't think we're aware of it until after because of the symptoms that come with it. So what I watch when people close down, it's easy to go into doubt, worry, defensiveness, criticism, frustration. All of a sudden, I find myself in just utter resistance. It may not be what's happening right now, but I find myself in that. So how do you trace it? Often it is with self-reflection, and here again is where greater awareness will really assist us. I call what the habits, we're not always aware that we have habits around closing down to other people and to situations. We're not aware of it. But I call these our triggers.
Okay.
And triggers can arise even when we have great intentions. So let's say you're working with somebody and you know they approach things so differently than you and that communication is difficult. And it doesn't mean you hate them, it just you know it's challenging. And now you're getting ready to go to a meeting and they're going to be in the meeting. And you walk into the meeting with great intentions. Okay, this time we're going to find a way, I'm going to ask some good questions, etc. Well, triggers are like those knee-jerk reactions. There's one of the ways to really recognize the source is often to start paying attention to what you know are those places, those tripwires, where you go in with great intentions before you know you find yourself closed. So, for example, here are some of the areas that give many of us trouble. Dealing with somebody who's very confrontational or receiving critical feedback, or dealing with a period of in an environment where there's great uncertainty, or there's constant change, or maybe there's even lack of leadership. Or let's say you're dealing with a team where everybody's complaining. Complaining is such a drain. Same with being asked those annoying questions. And then there's an area where sometimes we have triggers where we're anticipating the worst. We're anticipating others won't listen to us because they didn't in the past. We're anticipating others will attack us. They'll be critical. They'll be harsh. And all of that, I would say the one area that for all of us can really look inside and identify is that part that can be so hard on ourselves. If I am beating myself up, I'm not learning. And usually when I'm beating myself up, I'm closed. And I find in our culture, I hear people say on a regular basis, I'm my own worst critic. And they say it as though it's a badge of honor. As they've just put like a gold medal around their neck. You know, I'm my own worst critic. Well, when I am hard on myself because I'm not strong enough, fast enough, steady enough, I'm not learning at the pace required, if I am beating myself up, I'm not learning. And what I find is the fastest way back to open is to come back to learning. If I'm learning, I will have more likely a chance to find open again. If I'm critical of myself, it's usually a sign I'm hanging out and I'm closed. I've closed off my energy.
All right. Well, I have a question, and this is for me. You are in a situation that you're going into a meeting and somebody is confrontational or they're offering you critical feedback or you're sick of the fact that they can't make up their mind. You know, everything is changing every time you go into a meeting. You know, they're changing things and people are complaining or any of the situations that you just mentioned. So how... And I'm physically being in a meeting where I'm, like, feeling, you know, this happening. You know, how do I make the switch? How do I stop this? How do I mentally change my mindset? Because this is obviously a mindset show, and that's basically what I focus on. How do I change my mindset so that this trigger doesn't affect me?
Right. Wow, is that an awesome question. And if I could bottle that, I'd be a multi-billionaire. Here's the fairy dust. What I've discovered over time for myself, because this is an ongoing learning for myself as well, mm-hmm. is that so often when you're hit with it in the moment, there's a reaction, and often our reaction is to close down. My recommendation is we learn to develop the disciplines to be proactive. If I'm going into a meeting with Joe, and Joe is a trigger for me, it's like American Express says, don't leave home without it. Don't go into the meeting expecting to be fine around Joe if I know Joe is a trigger for me. And so what I'm going to give you today is a tool on one way to be able to keep yourself open in those kind of situations, something you can do. If you do it proactively, over time you will find it in the moment. But the second thing that we're not going to cover that I'm going to offer you right now is that the breath, deep breathing, is the body's natural way to calm our nerves. And it can be a way to find open. And it's interesting that why deep breathing is so important is it's only the bottom lobes of the lungs where we extract oxygen from air that we breathe. So when we're breathing during the day, we breathe more shallowly. When I'm upset with somebody, I'm often breathing very shallowly. And it's that deep, slow inhalation and the slow exhalation. Just taking several slow, deep breaths. I call it Buddha breathing. Mm-hmm. So a relaxed belly and just a mm-hmm. slow inhalation, slow exhalation brings you back to a place of all is well. And all is well is an acknowledgement of truth that when we are in an open place, all is well.
Okay. All right, so that's awesome. Yeah, you're right. I was just wondering if you're right. There's no way to change the mindset in the moment or in the heat of an argument. You change it over time. You change it by, maybe meditating or, running mm-hmm. or whatever you do with your passions that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And that means that you're going to be calmer and that person will have wouldn't be able to push your buttons as much. It happens in marriages, right? So as well, which
yeah,
where
absolutely.
People trigger you
absolutely.
Or push your buttons more than in a meeting, right? So awesome, awesome conversation. I'm learning so much. And again, it's new information for me, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be new information for a lot of our listeners. So looking at the time, let's take our second station break. And we'll be right back to learn some more tips and tricks from Gail. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
How would you like to make $3,000 to $7,000 a month from the comfort of your own home? Well, you can at moneyfromhome.info. At moneyfromhome.info, not only can you make money, you can do it with no cold calling, no personal selling, no rejection, no meetings, and no chasing family and friends. Simply refer prospects to your own website, and they do the rest. Moneyfromhome.info will help you build your business. They offer a proven system that's super simple and extremely effective. Moneyfromhome.info have a unique compensation plan that benefits you, so check it out right now. Moneyfromhome.info and start making money, real money, working from home. Moneyfromhome.info.
Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Bernie Young, and today we have been learning some really good and valuable information from my guest today, Ms. Gail Green, who is a coach and a leadership coach and trainer. And in our second segment, we dived into why are some of the ways that we become stuck and how we move energy through our bodies, and learning how to be inclusive of everyone in our leadership conversation. So as we wrap up our segment today, Let me ask Gail, because I know she sent me these absolute beautiful cards that I know that she, you know, would like to spend some time on. And these are called Go Cards. So, Gail, walk me through. I know our listeners are not actually seeing these cards, but I can actually explain it to them. It's a pack of cards that come in a nice plastic case, and it says, Go Cards, why? To connect with now, to balance your inner and outer being, and how it works. You pick up a card and see where it takes you. So the first card on my list is, on my stack, is a wild boar. I mean, actually, it's my Taurus sign of all things. I'm supposed to be, my sign is, a stubborn boar. And it says, the black bull, sorry, I call it a boar, but it's a bull. And it says, why? To increase sureness, courage, strength, determination, the symbol of I can. How? See your heart expanded and put the black bull in it. So, Gail, walk us through how you use these Go Cards to help your clients become open.
Yeah, I developed, thank you, Myrna, I'm so happy you picked one and you actually demonstrated it. The Go Cards, there's 18 cards in the deck, and then actually an extra one for you if you have something that you use already. And I developed this because I found over time, I've done work for years with an area called symbols. And symbols are highly charged pictures that I have found assist people to quickly come back to open. So we hear things, we often hear people say a picture is worth 1,000 words. And really great marketers will tell you that's how they get people to buy their product. There's something that makes you feel from the picture, from the image. And these cards, I picked the ones I use most consistently with people. It's a quick way in the course of your day, whether as a parent or as a professional or just as a person, when you are aware, wow, I'm either going into a tough situation and I want to stay open, or wow, I can tell I am closed because I am rigid or defensive or critical right now. How do you quickly come back to open? And the symbol or the card that I want to use with all of you and offer you today is called the Golden Pyramid.
Okay.
And how you use the Golden
Pyramid. Oh, that was my third card. I have it right here.
Yes.
Okay.
Why do you use it? For inner balance and focus, to override anxiety and doubt, to back yourself, and to find a second wind. The pyramid is the most balanced of all geometric forms, and they use them in a tremendous amount in space, in our space travel and all of what we're discovering with that technology. So here's what I'd like for you to do with me to activate the Golden Pyramid. It's often easiest to do initially with your eyes closed, and then I'll show you how to do it with your eyes open. So if all my listeners would just close your eyes for a moment, if you're not driving, and picture a Golden Pyramid above your head, just floating above your head. So a pyramid is a square bottom with four triangles leaning in, touching each other. And this is a shiny, radiant, brilliant Golden Pyramid. It's just floating above your head. And then what I'd like for you to do is take a deep breath and breathe up into the pyramid. And as you exhale, pull strands of gold down into your body, through your spine, any part of your body that might be sore, down through your knees, and even out your toes. And let's do it a second time. Just breathe up into the pyramid and pull those gentle, radiant strands of gold through your body. What you're saying to yourself is, I can stay balanced, or I can find open. That's what the pyramid is about, is open and balanced. Let's try it again with your eyes open. You'll find with your eyes open it's a little bit different. You have to kind of build it. So with your eyes open, you still picture the radiance, glowing, shiny, golden pyramid. Gold is the color of our self-worth. It's the color of our inner character. So your inner gold mine. So the radiance of the golden pyramid is there, and you take a deep breath, and you breathe up into the pyramid. And as you exhale, you just pull strands of gold down through your body. And what you're saying to yourself is, I can stay balanced, or I can find open. That's what this picture does. I find when I use this before dealing with a tough situation that I know I'm facing, whether that be a phone call or a meeting, or it could be an interaction with somebody who I find more challenging, it just puts me in a place that is all is well. That's what I can feel inside. All is well. I can figure this out. I can make this work. I can deal with you. And from that, great outcomes happen. Great decision making can happen. And I can find myself able to listen in the moment so that I can stay engaged, inclusive, and even curious in order to be part of great outcomes.
Yeah, that was awesome. I absolutely love it. I mean, it was hard for me to picture it with my eyes open, you know, because I'm not a very good visualizer, so I definitely need to close my eyes. But when I closed my eyes and did that exercise, I was able to pull little strands of gold through my body and become balanced and relaxed. But I'm a meditator, so it was very easy for me to do. But I can see that for somebody that is not necessarily a meditator, if they're in the workplace and they only have like a minute and they have a pack of cards, which is something they can touch and something that they can look at and go to, I think it's it definitely will work. And
yeah.
And if you do it often enough, like you said earlier, by being proactive, sooner or later it's going to become habit. And then you probably wouldn't even need the cards. You'll be able
Absolutely.
To just picture it in your mind and do it.
Yep.
So that's that is very good, and that was extremely creative of you. So I and thank you for sending me my own personal copy. Thank you. I love it. Yep, yeah, I love it. All right, so tell our audience now how they can get in touch with you if they want personal coaching, if they want a copy of, this free gift that you're offering with
yeah.
these skill cards, and they're absolutely beautiful and worth a lot. And
Great.
Gail is willing to offer it to you for free. So, you know, tell them how they can get in touch with you.
Yes, beautiful. So my gift to all of you as listeners is if you will email me, I will send you three of the tools from the Go Card deck. And I'll send it to you electronically. So, these will assist you to continue strengthening your open communication, both with yourself as well as with others. And what will come with this, well, I'll also give you a link to our website where you can discover what we do with life coaching, with leadership coaching, as well as our quarterly leadership workshops. So all you need to do is to email me at askgail, A-S-K, and you spell Gail, G-A-I-L, askgail at gogreenlearning.com. So go, the color green, and learning. GoGreenLearning.com. GoGreenLearning is the name of my company. So ask Gail at GoGreenLearning.com. And I welcome all of you. I would really love to stay in touch. And I will send you three of the Go cards. And you'll have access to all the other services and the coaching as well as the workshops that we offer.
Awesome. And your website is what? GoGreenLearning.com?
Is GoGreenLearning.com.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Well, listen, I really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much for expanding my knowledge and my learning today. by understanding open and closed as far as, you know, helping us to be less defensive and less resistant and all-inclusive of everyone and their communication style. And I know that's very important for managers and CEOs and entrepreneurs that are working with people. But like you said, marriages, parents, everybody needs
yes.
to learn how to be more open and communicate better.
Right.
Yes. Awesome. All right, so I am extremely grateful that you took the time out of your busy schedule to talk to me and my audience. And sending you much blessings in your work and your field.
Thank you so much. This was a real pleasure, a real joy to be talking to you, Myrna. You're a great host.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Well, listen, thank you so much for tuning in to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. If you found this information in this show inspirational, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. If you're listening to this on the radio right now, in order to find the podcast, you can either go to iTunes and look under, look for Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna. If you do not have an iPhone, you can pick up the link to the podcast on my blog, and that is blog.myhelps.com. US. So once again, thank you so much for tuning in, and blessings to you all. Until next time, namaste.